sports talk for real sports fans. 1700 KBGG.
Hey, everybody, welcome in on a blustery, ugly day in the capital city. We say hello to you, Jim and Trent, right here on the Big Talker 1700. And, of course, you can always get in on the program at 264-1700. Alex Halstead, 24-7 Cyclone Alert, will be our guest coming up at 420. At 440, Todd Haslip, sporting news on the NFL. And at 5 o'clock, it is indeed the Hawkeye Huddle. Boy, those guys got a lot to discuss, Trent. How are you, pal?
Not too bad, Jimmy B. Just battling the wind out there. And luckily, I got a low center of gravity, so I'm in good shape in that one. But, windy day out there. I know you love the weather forecast, Jimmy B., but we're not here to talk about the weather. We are here to talk about sports, a huge sports weekend for different reasons for Iowa and Iowa State coming up this weekend. As we turn the page here on a Tuesday, recapping things over the weekend, and now we'll look forward. And, you know, we've already got into the Cyclones a lot this week and the importance of this game, the national spotlight that's going to be upon them. Probably a lot of people this week maybe seeing the Cyclones for the first time. Problem, that 2:30 kickoff will be going up against Penn State, Ohio State, which will hurt just a little bit. But a lot of people be tuning in, maybe flipping back and forth and seeing the Cyclone team for the first time. The spotlight is on them, Jimmy B. And then on the other side, you have the Iowa Hawkeyes just trying to get off the mat after another disappointing effort against Northwestern. Seems like every couple years there's something like this that crops up against the Wildcats. And now it's not a must win, but it's a must win. You cannot lose to this Minnesota team. Year one of P.J. Fleck with what he's trying to build momentum-wise and recruiting. We heard Brian Ferentz, of course, his comments this summer we took more talking about the Iowa State perspective, but he was also talking about Minnesota a lot in those comments. This is one that Iowa certainly needs to get, and right now it's about getting bowl eligible and building for the future.
You know, that's ironic, Trent, that you're talking about just getting bowl eligible. Look, you and I both had them, 6-6, 7-5, no more than 7-5, if memory serves me correct. And this is a team that can't score all of a sudden. And people, look what they did against Illinois doesn't count. Well, look what they did against North Texas doesn't count. They cannot score touchdowns and they have any consistency in the offense. And for the life of me, partner, I have no idea why all of a sudden it went to hell in a handbasket. When they played Iowa State, in that unbelievable offensive juggernaut by both teams, where they both scored over 40 points, I don't know what happened to the offense. They threw the ball. They ran the ball, Iowa did. And all of a sudden, it's like they've just turned so conservative that they have lost their way. Am I looking at it the wrong way here? Straighten me out if you think I'm wrong.
Well, I think it's pretty simple, the reason for it. They have two freshman tackles. When you lose...
That is a problem.
When you lose Ike Becker, when you lose Boone Myers, two guys that not only were starters, but those guys were three-year starters. They were important cogs of what they had been over the last couple of years, and you're turning not to veterans, but you're turning to guys that have never played before. This is what's going to happen. Not only that, Tristan Wirfs, a true freshman. We've seen freshmen play before under Kirk Ferentz on the offensive line. Doesn't happen very often, but it happens. Brian Bulaga, who's turned out to be a very good NFL player. Mike Jones, another one that got a start. Those guys, though, began their career in the middle as offensive guards. It's never happened before because it's a difficult spot to learn. So not only do you have Alaric Jackson learning on the fly, now you have Tristan Wirfs, and that's why the offensive line is having struggles. That's why the offense is having struggles, Jim. The frustration for me is not that. You go into that football game against Northwestern understanding that though you had a bye week, this is still a young group, and this is going to be a lot different defense that you're going to be seeing in the Wildcats than what you saw 2 weeks prior against Illinois. Yet they continued banging their head against the wall, running it in the middle with Akram Wadley, running it between the tackles. That's not where he's at his best. The game that was his coming out party a season ago on a national stage was what he did against Michigan. And it wasn't him going out there and busting through and running up the gut against that stout Michigan defense. It was him in space. It was him out wide. It was him catching passes in the screen game, setting things up. and to not come into a football game against a Northwestern team that had slowed down two of the best running backs in the country in Jonathan Taylor and Saquon Barkley, to not realize that what you're going to do with two freshman tackles banging the ball up there is not going to work. That's the frustrating part about it, Jim. It's no surprise that they're taking a step back from what they were and maybe what the expectations were after Iowa State, because you got young guys playing your tackle spot. That's not a surprise. The surprise is that Brian Ferentz and the rest of the offensive staff has not done more to try to make it easier, make it simplified, and find ways to get your best players in the best position. And that's a hallmark of the Ferentz regime. You go back to the 2004 team. And in 2004, when they won their second Big Ten title under Kirk Ferentz, it was a team that couldn't run the football. They were down to their fifth-string running back, a walk-on by the name of Sam Brownlee, a guy that was not a D1 running back. He just wasn't. But what they did is they adjusted. They moved things around. They did things differently. They put the ball in Drew Tate's hands more, let him get outside the pocket, make plays down the field. They changed what they are. And it doesn't look like they're willing right now to change what they are to help these freshmen out, to help get Akron Wadley in space. It looks like right now Brian is just trying to do what knows his dad will be happy with, and that is running the football, zone scheme, zone in, zone out. That's what we're going to do, and that's what it looks like they're doing.
All right, I'm with you 100% on that, and that was going to be my follow-up question. You have followed this program your entire life. Do you think then, because you just stated it, that that's exactly what the kid has done for his pops, is that he has fallen on the sword here, and all of a sudden, he's just running what Kirk wants him to run. Is that what has happened here?
Well, it would happen, I think, regardless.
I mean, it sounds like it.
Well, it would happen regardless, I think, of who the coordinator is. You're still, Kirk Ferentz is still the coach. You're still going to run a zone-blocking scheme. Now, if you don't think that this offense is different than what you saw a year ago, Jimmy B, you need to get your eyes adjusted, because offensively they do look a lot different in the passing
game. They do some different looks. I agree with you. They do have different looks.
It is completely different than the horizontal passing game of Greg Davis to what they're doing now, and the shots down the field. Now, we know they were able to hit one of those deep shots as Vandenberg was able to make a play down the field, and Nate Stanley was able to hit him. That worked out perfectly. They're still taking those shots, and that is a positive. But the zone blocking scheme with these youngsters that don't have the reps, don't have the experience, it isn't working. And they got to find different ways to get Akron Wadley involved. We know what a good running back he is, Jimmy B.
Yes,
we know the talent that he has. They're close, but there just needs to be a little bit more imagination. And to your point about Brian Ferentz and him getting the job, you remember I was one of the few people out there that wasn't in favor of him getting the job. And it has nothing
to do with.
It has nothing to do with Brian Ferentz. It really doesn't. Mm-hmm. It's nothing about his pedigree, what he's done throughout his career, how he's got to this, the nepotism thing. That really had nothing to do with it. What I was hopeful for is they would go out and bring somebody in with different kind of ideas that would look at things in a different light, because they're just doing what they did under Ken O'Keefe. This looks like the offense that you saw before he went away 5 years ago to go coach with the Miami Dolphins. It is back to that. Iowa, I think, was in need of some kind of infusion of some different kind of ideas. It's never going to change from a run-based offense. It's never going to change from a pro-style set. We get that, but you can still bring in different ideas. That's why I wasn't in favor. And the second point about that, Jim, the reason that I was down on the hire of Brian Ferentz was because, let's say you're the wide receiver coach, new wide receiver coach, Coach Copeland, and you see something that just isn't working. Now, of course, you're going to talk about it as an offensive staff, but if things, if your deaf ears are being heard there whenever you bring something up, well, when you bring it up to the offensive coordinator, you go to the head coach, that's his son. And that's the part of the nepotism that I do get a little bit bothered with, because you're not going to go to Kirk and say, you know what, Brian, he is so hearted on this, I think this will work. You're not going to do that. You're not going to do that because that's the head man, and you're talking about his son. That's the problem that I had twofold with this hire. Nothing to do with Brian and his pedigree and all those things. That's all well and good. But you're, A, making him learn on the job now, and that's what he's going through. And secondly, that part that you just wonder, when things go poorly and he knows some different ideas and he throws some different things, who do you turn to? Does it just turn into everybody talking behind the Ferentz's back and saying, boy, these two guys are off on their own island? That can be a problem, Jimmy B.
Yeah, No, I'm with you, pal. I read you loud and clear, and I distinctly remember you were not a fan of that particular hire, and I applaud you for that. And I think you've hit the nail on the head here, where people are kind of like walking on eggshells when things aren't working, but yet they're really truly afraid to go express maybe a over-the-top opinion because of what you just said. I understand that perfectly and can see how that could absolutely play into the coaching tree. I did think I heard Kirk say today that Boone Myers may be shut down, that he might be done for the year. Did you hear that as well?
Yeah, and it's not a surprise. I mean, the times that he was out there, Jim, you could tell
right
that this wasn't the same guy that we'd seen over the last couple of seasons. The ankle injury, high ankle sprain can be very debilitating. A lot of times, you know, they say that is worse than actually even breaking an ankle with a high ankle sprain because of the time that it takes back. You try to come back too quickly, it doesn't work, and very well could be seeing the case of that. If that's the case, well, then it's just continuing. All systems go with the two tackles, the freshman tackles out there. You know, and another part of the offensive line, James Daniels does not look like the guy we saw over the last season. You know, this is a guy that some people thought maybe he would have an opportunity to put his name into the ring for the NFL draft after the sophomore year that he had last season. He missed game one against Wyoming. He doesn't look to have that same kind of quickness that made him so effective. And in the scheme that they run, his ability to get out and make plays. And remember last year, the number of times we saw him, you know, and they'd do the zone blocking scheme, and he'd be coming out, and he'd be pulling from out there at that center spot. And his athleticism was a big part of that. That athleticism is gone inside, as good as Sean Welsh is inside. The other side, the left guard spot, it's been a revolving door. You know, they tried a number of different guys. Boone Meyer was in there with that injury. He wasn't 100%. They've had Ross Reynolds. You know, they've tried a lot of different things, but it just hasn't worked out. And I think you're going to be left, Jim, if you're thinking that there's going to be some kind of a magic moment for this offense that it's suddenly going to click and they're going to be back to what you saw in the Iowa State game. I just don't think that's going to happen. I don't think you're going to see that because of what's happening up front.
I'm with you 100%. I really am. I really thought that after that Iowa State game and how exciting that game was and how offensively unique it was, that Iowa maybe had really flipped the page on a few things, and Trent, they haven't. And it's bad now for what everybody, if you're a Hawk fan, it has to witness. And the style of play, widely right, widely left, widely up the middle, it's not working. And you better hope that something works against Minnesota. Otherwise, this really could turn into disaster. And a victory against the Gophers would change a lot, but a loss to Minnesota would just be a disastrous, disastrous blow for this team, especially with who's coming up next on the schedule.
Yeah, Ohio State and then Wisconsin on the road.
Yes.
The two games after that. It's a must-win without being a must-win. And you don't want to go into the final games with Purdue and Nebraska sitting at 4-6 and have to win both of those games just to get to bowl eligible. There's no such thing as a sure thing with the way this Iowa team is built. We've seen that too many times in the past. And, you know, we were saying 6-6 all throughout the summer, Jimmy B.
Right.
Maybe we even should have been a tick lower. And that will be the case, I think, if they don't find a way to beat the Gophers. Minnesota, on the other hand, though, they have their own set of issues. You know, this is a team can't throw the football very effectively. They've gone to yet another new quarterback and trying to find a guy that can move around a little bit in Demaryius Croft, but he can't throw the football very effectively.
No, he can't.
He's completing under 50% of his passes. He's not very good, Jimmy B. A must win without being a must win. That's what it is for the Hawkeyes this weekend.
Fair enough, partner. We're going to flip the page and head to Iowa State. Alex Halstead, 24/7 Cyclone Alert, is going to be our guest. And then when Alex leaves at about 4:40, Tad Heslop will be our guest. Sporting News, he covers the NFL. And then at 5 o'clock, it is the Hawkeye Huddle. We're just getting started. Jimmy B and TC right here on the Big Talker 1700.
1700 KBGG brings you Westwood One coverage of the NFL all season long through the Super Bowl.
If you're sick and tired of the same old delivery options, I have an idea for you. It's Food Dudes Delivery. Food Dudes Delivery delivers for restaurants that normally don't deliver food. And with over 50 restaurants across the metro, Food Dudes Delivery can find whatever you're craving. And for listeners of Jimmy B and TC, $2 off any order of $20 or more. Just use the coupon code JBTC. That's JBTC for $2 off your next order of $20 or more. Food Dudes Delivery. Online, fooddudesdelivery.com.
Sponsored by ADT. Home isn't just a place, it's the feeling of knowing you're safe. ADT lets you take that feeling with you. Learn more at ADT.com.
I listened to jackhammers and honking horns on my commute this morning.
I listened to a great business book on Audible.
I think I'm now partially deaf in one ear.
I think I'm going to ask for a raise.
Is it bad that I can't stop hearing a ringing noise?
You should give Audible a try.
Excuse me?
I said you should give Audible a try.
Upgrade your commute. Ride with Audible. Download the Audible app and start your free 30-day trial today.
At Discover, we believe anniversaries should be a time of celebration, not obligation. That's why we think annual fees are ridiculous. And now just for giving us a try, we're going to give new card members a one-year anniversary gift they'll never forget. At the end of your first year, we'll match all the cash back you've earned dollar for dollar. No caps and no catches, because we know if you try us, you'll like us. And that's worth every penny. Try it and believe it at discover.com/match. Cashback match offer only for new card members. Limitations apply.
Camp Sunnyside, taking a boat ride, is Joey's favorite thing to do.
Easter Seals Iowa provides support for children and adults with disabilities in our community. From the fun of Camp Sunnyside to employment and daily living skills, Easter Seals provides a wide range of support to promote independence.
We have so much fun.
EasterSealsIA.org.
Guys, are you ready to begin your journey to live life better? Are you feeling tired and worn down, or looking to improve performance and drive in the bedroom? Looking to burn fat and gain muscle? Then it's time to contact New Leaf Wellness. New Leaf Wellness offers a free, no-obligation consultation. Dr. Robert Seaman and the New Leaf staff will help craft a plan dedicated to you. From testosterone replacement therapy, advanced weight loss, to nutritional therapy, New Leaf Wellness strives to find the plan that will improve your quality of life. Dr. Robert Seaman and New Leaf Wellness, give them a call today at 515-650-1358. Again, 515-650-1358 for New Leaf Wellness. One more time, 515-650-1358. It's time to live life better with New Leaf Wellness. Call 515-650-1358. That's 515-650-1358.
Black and Cardinal Divide is the first website dedicated to the Cy-Hawk rivalry. We cover both the Hawkeyes and the Cyclones.
This is Cody, and I cover Iowa State.
And I'm Derek, his younger brother, who covers the Hawkeyes.
We'd like to encourage you to jump over to bcdivide.com. Tune in Wednesdays and Thursday nights as we will talk all things Cyclones and Hawkeyes.
Jump over to bcdivide.com. Join us for daily banter and our social media pages at bcdivide. As brothers and fans of different teams, we grew up with a heated Cy-Hawk rivalry within our own family.
Join us at bcdivide.com to embrace the rivalry.
Villaggio Italian Restaurant brings real homemade Italian to you. Fantastic food, great service, and an elegant vibe that feels like home. All your favorites from the original in Norwalk and an expanded menu with the newest location on 100th Street in Urbandale. Plus, one of the best happy hours in the metro from 3 to 6 each weekday. When you're thinking Italian, make it Villaggio. Pizza, pasta, sandwiches, and more. Two locations, Sunset Drive in Norwalk and 100th Street in Urbandale. Villaggio Italian Restaurant.
At Wolf Construction, we do many large construction projects across the Midwest, but we started as a roofing company, and we're still a roofing company today. At Wolf Construction, we believe in honest work, a fair price, and work we stand behind, and our 10-year workmanship warranty proves it. We know roofing. With our one-day get-it-done approach, we're known as a roofing machine. Call Wolf Construction for a free estimate at 515-225-8866 or visit us on the web at wolfconstruction.net. At Wolf Construction, we take your roof personally.
Hey, it's Jimmy B.
And TC for Draft House 50 on Mills Civic Parkway in West Des Moines.
Hey, Draft House 50 has 47 big screen TVs for great viewing of any game.
Football, basketball, baseball, hockey, golf, tennis, you name it.
Hey, the Draft House 50 can get it, even cricket? Draft House 50 has a sensational menu featuring specialty burgers, steak, salads, and so much more.
And on Saturday and Sunday, beginning at 10 a.m., it's brunch, which includes a terrific Bloody Mary bar.
The Draft House 50, a place for sports, great food, and drinks.
Draft House 50, Mills Civic Parkway in West Des Moines.
Real sports talk for real sports fans. It's Jimmy B and TC. Here's Jim and Trent.
All right, everybody, welcome back. We roll till 6 o'clock right here on the Big Talker, 1700. Always good when we get a chance to have a conversation with Alex Halstead. 24-7 Cyclone Alert. Alex comes to us on the Draft House 50 Hotline, Mills Civic Parkway, West Des Moines. Alex, good afternoon to you, man.
Good afternoon, guys. How are you guys doing this week?
Well, we're doing terrific. It seems like right now that Cyclone fans, the team, the coaches, and everyone else associated with the school, not only did they get a brand new president and make history there, but their team also making history on the football field, ranked 25th in the nation. Your response to the ranking at 25, and also how are they preparing and what has Campbell said about getting ready for TCU?
Yeah, I guess first with the ranking, you know, coming in at number 25, that's the first time they've been ranked in the AP Top 25 poll since September 25th, 2005. They beat Army that week before, 3-0 start to the season, and they came in at number, I think it was actually number 23 in that poll. But so they haven't been ranked in a dozen years, and I think it's big for the fans and all that sort of thing, because, you know, I think it validates a little bit nationally, puts you on the spotlight. You know, when you go to see those rankings, you see Iowa State's Vogel there at the bottom. But internally, you know, Matt Campbell said he really didn't have a reaction, and I kind of believe him, because just the way he's been steady through beating Oklahoma or Akron, you know, they both seem like the same game. I think he's more focused on the bigger picture still. I think he realizes this is good for recruiting. It's good for the fans to, you know, get that, you know, that feeling. But, you know, overall, you know, they could go and lose this week to TCU, fall out of the top 25, and it doesn't mean anything. And so I think he knows that there's still five games left. It's bigger picture. But I think it is meaningful, you know, for that, the reasons I listed before. And I was wondering if they were going to get in, because when you looked at what happened this week, and not a lot of teams towards the bottom lost. You know, Michigan's the team they end up replacing, who fell from 19 to out, and then Iowa State jumped in. But big for I think the program for a few reasons at least.
Well, Alex, one of the biggest games we've seen at Iowa State in a long, long time. First time we've had a ranked matchup there in 15 years. It's incredible, you know, what this program has done so quickly. Yet it seems from the outside looking in that this is a group that still understand that the hay isn't in the barn, that there's still work to be done here to get to their ultimate goal, get to not just a bowl game, but even do more than that. It doesn't seem like this team is just ready to say, hey, we've had a great season. They know there's still more to be had.
Yeah, you know, for one thing, when you look back, I think it was right around Media Day, and it might have been on Media Day, Campbell was asked about their expectations, and that was kind of one of his coaches. What is the goal? 6 wins, you know. I don't think he ever, or the team, has a goal of, like, just to get to 6 wins. You know, that would mean going, you know, 1-4 the rest of the way. And, you know, I'm sure everyone would be, you know, happy that they get to that bowl game. But if they go 1-4 the rest of the way, I think there might be a little bit of disappointment even. So, you know, I think, you know, the way they've started 5-2, they have expectations beyond just a bowl game. Although, you know, it's not going to be easy. When you look at their schedule, they've got the fifth toughest strength of schedule remaining in the country. You know, the next 3 weeks they get the number 4 team in the country, number 22 team in the country, and the number 11 team in the country. So, yes, they're off to a 5-2 start, and I think that's great in their minds, and it kind of puts them on pace to get to that bowl, which they've obviously aimed for, especially those seniors who've been through a lot of mostly downs, I guess, through their careers. They want to get to that bowl game, and so it's important to be 5-2 and, you know, be that close to a bowl game. But they've got a really tough schedule. They've got 3 consecutive ranked games coming up, and so it's not going to be easy these next couple weeks. And so I think certainly not a feeling when you talk to, you know, Campbell or players of satisfaction. You know, even after that game Saturday in Lubbock, being down there, you know, Lazard was kind of like, you know, this is the most wins I've ever had in the season, but we've got to almost move on to TCU.
Alex Halstead is our guest on the Draft House 50 hotline. Alex, they had an opportunity, meaning Iowa State, to have the television sets to themselves, a sold-out house. Texas came in, and they were just dreadful offensively. Defense was solid, dreadful offensively. I know you had a different quarterback at that time, but still, that same quarterback had played pretty well prior to that game. Is there a sense that they're going to be on the big stage again, and they might not be ready for that particular showcase?
Yeah, I think they'll definitely, you know, be ready. I think, you know, looking back at the Texas game, there were several issues there. I think Jacob Park didn't play very well that day. You know, missed some of it was, you know, maybe there were play calls here and there. Tom Manning has admitted that, you know, could he have called a better game? Yeah, he probably could have, and maybe they should have got the ball to David Montgomery more, but they also missed plays out there. You know, Jacob Park sailed a few passes. He missed a few checkdowns. They dropped some passes. So I think they've learned some stuff from that. I think we're also learning that Texas' defense is pretty good, so maybe they're somewhere in the middle. You know, Texas just held Oklahoma State to 13, a team that averages 48 points a game. So I think Texas' defense is good. Iowa State played pretty poorly offensively. They made a lot of mistakes. So I think they've learned from a lot of those different things of you know, trying to call situational plays against. This is probably Texas and TCU, I'd say, are going to be the best two defenses they play this year. And so, you know, it's another really tough defense, a defense that, yes, Kansas was bad, but they held them to 21 yards last week. And so I think they realize that they're going to have to make a lot of situational plays and things like that against TCU and try to establish the run game, even though TCU does defend the run well. But I think they'll be ready for it. It's just a matter of, you know, can they handle some of the things TCU throws at them defensively, and can they slow down some of TCU's weapons? Because this is a fast TCU team. You don't want to give up much in the special teams game because Turpin can change the game quick. We saw him, I think, get a 90-yard punt return for a touchdown last week. So TCU's got a lot of weapons that they've got to try to minimize as well.
Well, the big story that started over the weekend with some tweets from Kirk Herbstreit is him saying that Matt Campbell, he's gone. You know, it ruffled a lot of people in the Iowa State community's feathers, which you can certainly understand there. It's going to cost some money, though. I saw Football Scoop had an article today detailing just how much money that buyout would be if another school would come calling. So, at the very least, if Matt Campbell leaves, it'll be a financial windfall for Iowa State.
Yeah, you know, that's you know, I was down there in Lubbock, and so I saw the initial tweet, but I didn't realize really until I got home Sunday how much it had ruffled feathers. You know, I was trying to get caught up on the message board, and there's a long thread going through, you know, all of it, and I didn't realize he had kept tweeting at fans. And so, you know, I think they understand that other schools are going to come after him. I think it was just how adamant Kirk Herbstreit was that he's for sure gone. And, you know, I think, you know, obviously Campbell responded to it in several times yesterday. He didn't get asked about it at the press conference, but talked about it a little bit afterwards about that he kind of found it a little bit disrespectful that people just kind of assume those types of things. And so, you know, personally, I don't see it happening after this year. I think Campbell is smart enough to find if or when he leaves. You know, he's only 37 years old, so, you know, I think he's smart enough to know that it needs to be the right fit. You know, Tennessee, is that the right fit? I don't know if that's really the right fit for him. Is a school more like Michigan State the right fit? Maybe, but I think he's smart enough to know that there's got to be a good situation for him, and I think he does want to build something in the next few years here at least. And so, you know, Paul Rhodes had opportunities to leave and waited too long, and it maybe costed him. But I think after 2 years is a little bit early, unless something really crazy happened.
We're having a conversation with Alex Halstead, 24/7 Cyclone Alert. Alex, on the injury front, what can you update us for Saturday's game?
Mostly healthy, which, you know, probably knock on wood for Campbell to talk if when he talks about injuries at this point, but they've mostly been healthy throughout the season. You know, Kamari Cotton-Moore has gotten to a point where he's been pretty healthy lately. The only injury going into last week was Willie Harvey, and I think he had only played about 15 snaps against Kansas, and so their goal was to get him up to speed, but he had 14 tackles against Texas Tech and played the full amount of snaps that they wanted him to. So they're, other than maybe some bumps and bruises, you know, Campbell has said that they're mostly healthy right now, nothing major. And so, you know, there's some guys, you know, Johnny Lang hasn't played in several weeks, and which is not really noteworthy because he'd never really played before, but he had, you know, some minor injuries that actually had him out for a few games, and now I think they might try to hold him out for the whole year and maybe go the medical redshirt route with him, even though he's kind of back to full strength. So rather than something like that, there's not really anything that's going into the game holding them back injury-wise.
Well, Alex, before we let you run, you're making your way back from Kansas City, Big 12 Basketball Media Day today. Iowa State picked 12th, and no surprise, picked 9th, excuse me, in the Big 12. No surprise that the players and Coach Prohm thought that might be a tick low.
Yeah, you know, Prohm, I asked Prohm about it, you know, today at the Sprint Center, and, you know, he said it didn't really mean anything to him. You know, he said that he almost seemed to understand it. He said, you know, if he's sitting there filling out his poll, you'd say Iowa State loses 16 years. But at the same time, he said nobody's seen Nick Babb play for 30 minutes. Nobody's seen Solomon Young play for 30 minutes, or no one's seen Donovan Jackson play for 30 minutes. So it's just the unknown, you know. People typically in those polls, he said, vote for based on statistics, and Iowa State loses. I added it up, you know, in writing the story. I think 81.6% or 81.5% of their scoring, 75% of their minutes. I mean, they lose almost everything, and so nobody knows what kind of role Babb and Jackson and Solomon and they're going to have six players to play this year that have never played in Iowa State uniform. Nobody knows what to expect, and so I think Jim's called it the mystery tour or whatever, and it's, you know, Prohm just, he said it's not that big of a deal to him. But the players, on the other hand, were a little different. You know, Jackson said he thinks, you know, they can prove people wrong. He thinks it was crazy when he saw it. And Nick Weiler-Babb said he didn't really want to talk about it. He said he thinks they can do more talking by going out and playing well in November, December, and down the road more than he can say anything.
Before we let you go, Bob Huggins showed up in a black and gold tuxedo accompanied by black and gold shoes. Was Huggs the hit of Big 12?
Yeah, he seems to always be the hit. You know, the last several years I've went, you know, this year, like you said, he was in like the shiny, it almost looked like a, it was like a gold, what you'd wear on to a wedding, but just the vest. And then the shoes, you know, like you said, were blue and gold.
And
blue
then, and gold,
you know,
yeah.
Last year he had, one year he had a bow tie, which Gordon G, their president, is known for bow ties. And then one year he had like those pants that like, had a ton of West Virginia logos, so it seems like he always tries to make some kind of fashion statement, although he did, someone asked him, and he said he's not going to be wearing what he wore today on the sidelines. I think he likes to wear his pullover. He's kind of settled on that, so he always makes a fashion statement in Kansas City, at least, though.
There's no doubt about it. Hey, Alex, as you had a chance, we know Kansas will be the preseason favorite. They're retooling the roster, but still a lot of talent there. You know, did you have a chance to talk to many of the other teams? And kind of who do you like in that next group? West Virginia up there as well, TCU. Who's the teams maybe you like 2 through 5?
Yeah, I got to hear from a few of the different coaches. And, you know, obviously Bill Self made a comment about how everyone says this can be the year. And he's like, well, why couldn't the other years be the year? But a lot of people think, you know, Kansas obviously is in line for their 14th straight regular season title. And, you know, they're going to be the team. And then I think it was Self-defensive that he thinks what TCU has a chance to win this league. He was asked about Jamie Dixon and said that, you know, they have one of the better chances to be up there. So, you know, I would probably say Kansas is the clear favorite, and then I'd probably go West Virginia, TCU. And then I think there's a lot of questions after that. You know, you'd probably put Oklahoma and Baylor up there. But, you know, there's quite a few questions, I think, overall, after that top three or four. You know, even when you look to the bottom, you know, Iowa State was picked 9th, but, you know, it's pretty jumbled. It was Iowa State, right behind them was Oklahoma State, right above them was Kansas State and Texas Tech, but it was all by a few votes, and I think those four teams I could see finishing anywhere from 7 to 10, although I do think Oklahoma State, new coach and all that, probably is rightly pegged to the bottom until they prove otherwise.
Always good, pal, when we have you on the show. Great information as always. Have a good trip, and we will talk to you next week. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Talk to you later.
That's Alex Halstead, 24/7 Cyclone Alert on the Draft House 50 Hotline, Mills Civic Parkway, West Des Moines. Trent, look, this is this game this Saturday, and you're right, it is up against TV-wise, the Penn State-Ohio State game, but it's still a hell of a game. Mm-hmm. It really is. Number 4 in the nation, matched up against number 25 in the nation, and if an upset does indeed take place, wow, will Cyclone Nation be on fire.
As they should be. It's rarefied air for this program. It's something that we haven't seen very often. Certainly in my lifetime, Jimmy B, over the last 37 years. Going to be a fun one. 2:30 kickoff with TCU in town. We'll come back on the other side. Change from college football talk over to the NFL. Tad Haslip with the sporting news. He's up next here on Jimmy B and TC.
You found your home for real sports talk for real sports fans. 1700 KBGG.
Are you in the mood for real, classic, homemade Italian food? Well, I have the spot for you. It's Villaggio. Two locations. The newest location in Urbandale, 2675 100th Street. The original in Norwalk. Classic dishes like cavatelli, spaghetti, lasagna, and vodka rigatoni. Top-notch pizza and awesome sandwiches. A great happy hour and Italian done right. Villaggio.
Sponsored by AccountTemps. AccountTemps is the better way to find top talent quickly. AccountTemps interviews and custom matches applicants to your exact requirements. Satisfaction guaranteed. Visit AccountTemps, a Robert Half company.
Picture this. It's Monday afternoon and you're at Domino's buying a large three-topping pizza. You give the Domino's employee $7.99 plus tax, of course. Now, picture this. It's Friday and you're at Domino's buying a large three-topping pizza. You give the Domino's employee more than you paid Monday. You feel bamboozled. But then you hear this.
Domino's extended its $7.99 large three-topping carryout deal to all day, every day.
And so you danced and ate Domino's. Carryout only. You must ask for this limited time offer. Prices, participation, and charges may vary.
Worry less with Liberty Mutual Insurance.
So your son got home safe last night? Tom said he had a flat tire.
Yeah, he was out past curfew and got stuck on Route 1, but Liberty Mutual went out and took care of it for him.
Liberty did what?
Yeah, a flat, jump, or tow. It's no problem no matter where or when with their roadside assistance.
What was he doing out so late anyway?
Getting himself grounded for a month.
Visit us online to get a quote. You can leave worry behind when Liberty stands with you. Liberty Mutual Insurance. Optional 24-hour roadside assistance coverage. Coverage is underwritten by Liberty Mutual Insurance Company.
Hey, it's Trent Condon here from Jimmy B and TC. If you've been talking and thinking about improving your health, I have an idea for you. Do what I did. Call New Leaf Wellness. My weight had been increasing, my endurance during workouts was waning, and I was just feeling sluggish. New Leaf Wellness put together a program to help me lose weight, improve my energy, and they can do the same for you. Call New Leaf Wellness today at 515-650-1358 to schedule a free, no obligation consultation. That's 515-650-1358 for New Leaf Wellness. And tell them TC sent you.
You don't need more sports, but you want more sports.
Rockstar Satellite can fix that with free next-day installation on DirecTV. Call Rockstar Satellite, 515-262-STAR. Call today for next-day installation, 515-262-STAR.
Are you sick of the same old tired lunches, leftovers, bad drive-thru options? Food Dudes Delivery has your answer. Food Dudes delivers for restaurants that don't offer delivery all across the Des Moines Metro. Order online at fooddudesdelivery.com and get out of the lunch rut today with Food Dudes Delivery. Place your order for lunch today, dinner tonight, or your office tomorrow at fooddudesdelivery.com. That's fooddudesdelivery.com.
Since 1993, Wolf Construction has been Des Moines' choice for residential and commercial roofing. From complete re-roofing to small leaks, call Wolf Construction at 225-8866 for your roofing needs. Call 225-8866 to set up your roofing consultation or online at wolfconstruction.net. That's wolfconstruction.net for Wolf Construction. A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau. wolfconstruction.net.
It's football season, and that means it is time to find your spot for all the big games. Trent Cotton here for Draft House 50 on Mills Civic Parkway in West Des Moines. 48 big screen TVs, all the games on college Saturdays, and the NFL on Sundays. Draft House 50 in West Des Moines. But it's not just about having all the great games on. You need more than that. You need great food. Draft House 50 has just that. Huge burgers. My favorite, the pizza burger. Ground beef, Italian sausage, mozzarella cheese, little marinara, and pepperoni. Big burgers, great sandwiches, pizza. If you want to go with the lighter fare, they got salads and appetizers for you as well. And you can't forget about the beer. It's in the name, Draft House 50. Local beers on tap, microbrews, whatever you're in the mood for, make it Draft House 50 in West Des Moines. Your football headquarters, Draft House 50, 6240 Mills Civic Parkway in West Des Moines. I'll see you there.
Real sports talk for real sports fans. It's Jimmy V and TC. Here's Jim and Trent.
All right, everybody. Yeah, we're rocking now, Trent. You know me. I like some of that old-time rock and roll. Tad Heslip is our guest. You find him, obviously, at Sports Illustrated, right?
The Sporting News.
Sporting News.
Brinson. Jeez.
I know. I'm sorry, Tad. Sorry, pal. He's their NFL writer, and he's a damn good one, too. So he comes to us on the Draft House 50 hotline. Tad, forgive me with my lousy introduction, okay?
It's all good. It's the internet. It's all the same, right?
fair enough. Let's get into some NFL stuff here real quick. I mean, there's a lot of moving and shaking going on, and a lot of it has to do now with the Philadelphia Eagles. Now, are they the best team in the NFL, in your opinion?
Well, I mean, based on the teams they've beat and the record they have, I mean, I'm sure they're going to be at the top of everybody's power rankings, and that's fair. But you have to look at the injuries they're all of a sudden dealing with. I think this Jason Peters injury, it's looking like he might be out for the season, all everything left tackle. That could turn out to be a big one for Philadelphia. The good news for the Eagles right now is I think they're pretty clearly the best team in their own division. And I think that's a good start, especially in a tough division like the NFC East. They have a nice cushion there in the standing. And, of course, the Cowboys are dealing with a possible Ezekiel Elliott suspension. So who knows what's going to happen with that team. But as far as the best team in the NFL, I don't know. I think there's probably four or five teams you could put in that conversation. I think the good old Patriots are still favored out in Vegas to win the Super Bowl. So and until that changes, I guess you kind of have to go with the defending champs. But, you know, the Chiefs are in that conversation. The Seahawks are working their way there, and the Steelers seem to have rebounded. So I think there are a lot of teams that you can put there. But let's give credit to what the Eagles have done, to how Carson Wentz has played and to how Doug Peterson has got this offense rolling.
Well, you mentioned Carson Wentz and some of the plays last night. Getting out of pressure, you know, a lot of people may be concerned about the future of the quarterback position. Peyton Manning retires, Tom Brady on the precipice, Drew Brees, a lot of these aging quarterbacks, but he looks like one of the guys and like to stand forward and make sure that there's not going to be a dearth of quarterback play that's going to fall off. There's still big opportunities for a lot of guys.
Absolutely, and it doesn't stop at Carson Wentz. You got Jared Goff playing well out there in Los Angeles, and of course the guys from last year, you got Dak Prescott coming out of nowhere, and then, you know, a lot of people are wondering about this next quarterback class coming. We'll see what happens. I mean, even this class that we have now, Deshaun Watson's slid a little bit in the draft, and you know, he's arguably the leader for Rookie of the Year right now. He's at least in that conversation. So, yeah, I mean, I think the future of the position is fine as of now, and there's a lot of good guys in college coming out too, like I said. So, yeah, no, I this is kind of a cycle, right? I mean, these guys that we've been, you know, idolizing for years, the Tom Brady's, the Drew Brees, they're going to retire soon. And then the Aaron Rodgers and those people, they're going to be gone too. But you got to be really excited about this wave coming in. And Carson Wentz, the way he's playing, he might be the best of the bunch right now. I mean, he has the entire skill set. You know, he's playing for a solid organization, and he's playing with a head coach. And he and Doug Peterson seem to be on the same page about everything. That relationship seems to have clicked really, really well. I thought ESPN on the Monday night broadcast did a really good job of kind of televising the communication between those two kind of during timeouts. You would run over to the sideline and they would talk for a couple seconds, and you could just see the confidence just kind of oozing out of them. There was one play where Carson Wentz walks away from Peterson. He's just kind of laughing like, yeah, we're going to score. And sure enough, they scored on the next play. So it's very impressive to watch.
Quickly, are the Green Bay Packers done without their star quarterback, Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah, well, it's hard to say no at this point. I mean, I think there would have been solid reason for optimism had they pulled off that win against the Saints going into their bye week. You know, this is a talented team when it's healthy, and that's kind of the bigger problem. I know the Aaron Rodgers injury is going to overshadow everything like it should, but when you look at all the collective injuries that this team is dealing with, that's the Packers' biggest problem right now. Even if Brett Hundley plays well, you know, you have some holes on that defense. They're really banged up in the secondary, and you got Minnesota, who's just chugging along. I don't know how they're doing it. They lost the running back, lost the receiver, lost two quarterbacks yet. They're still chugging along and leading that division, and they have a kind of an easy schedule coming up soon to build even a little bit of a cushion in that division. So, you know, Green Bay is going to struggle, A, to win that division, and B, in a wild card race, it's probably going to be really tight in the NFC and in the AFC, for that matter, on the other side. That's a different conversation. But, no, it's hard to have optimism at this point if you're Green Bay. I guess the only optimism you can have is that maybe there's an outside chance they can tread water in the wild card race long enough if Aaron Rodgers is able to make a comeback for the last couple weeks of the season. I doubt that. I've seen reports that he might be able to do that, but I just don't see it happening this year for him.
Well, you mentioned that race, and a team that's not going to be involved more than likely, the Chicago Bears. Though they're up to 3-4, they get it done with seven passes out of Mitchell Trubisky on Sunday in the win against Carolina. It was Eddie Jackson, and that defense proving to be the difference in the game. The Bears, though, with the season that they're still not likely to be in any kind of race, is it time to start to take the training wheels off with Trubisky? We see young quarterbacks, and you try to ease them along. I can't remember anything quite like this and what's happened with Trubisky's first few starts.
Yeah, no, I want to say yes, but because of the point you made, and I think it's a perfect point for this, is, you know, where are the Bears going? You know, what's the point? What do you, you know, because you got to be a little bit careful with not only the confidence of Trubisky in this situation, but the confidence of the teammates around him, right? Mm-hmm. So if he comes out slinging and starts throwing interceptions left and right, you know, maybe a little bit of doubt seeps into his teammates, and you don't want that happening. So this is tough, you know, because I kind of get both sides of this, because if you're a Bears fan, you want to see the skill set that has been touted, right, for the last year. You know, you want to see the big arm, you want to see the legs, and he has that. I think he's shown flashes of it, but you're right. I mean, the training wheels are definitely still on. You know, if this team continues to win games that it arguably should not win, and the Bears find themselves actually in the playoff race, maybe that's when it happens. You know, maybe once this defense has been playing so well, starts to break down a little bit, and all of a sudden the Bears are behind in some games, and they have to start chucking the ball a little bit. Maybe that's when you start to see Trubisky let it loose a little more, if you will.
Okay, then take me to the Kansas City Chiefs. Where do you have the Chiefs and the year that Alex Smith now is having?
Yeah, no, I consider the Chiefs in that, like in the first conversation, in that top five-ish group. You know, I think there's a lot of movement going on up there at the top of the league. Look, this 5-0 start that Kansas City had, I don't think that was a fluke at all. I mean, this is a very talented team. Andy Reid has his offense exactly where he wants it. I think there's two areas of concern, I think, for the Chiefs moving forward. Number one, did the Raiders expose the defense in a way? Because beyond Marcus Peters, I don't think this secondary has been great. This is a defense that pretty much relies totally on its pass rush. And when the pass rush isn't getting to the quarterback, this defense tends to have some problems. And then on the other side of the ball, it feels like this team is like one injury away from just falling apart offensively. I mean, you saw what happened with Albert Wilson out. It wasn't great. And obviously he's not even probably a top five offensive player on this team. So, you know, if you lose a tackle or if you lose Kareem Hunt or Tyreek Hill, or one of those guys, or Travis Kelce, and all of a sudden all those parts aren't moving together, you know, what happens from there? But you mentioned Alex Smith, and I think we all know Alex Smith has been capable of this level of play his entire career. It's very clearly the pieces around him. I mean, he's never had dynamic playmakers all around him like this throughout his entire career. So he's a very, very capable quarterback. Like I said, he just needs to have all those guys around him at all times. So as long as the Chiefs can stay healthy, I don't see any reason why they can't be one of the better, if not the best, teams in the AFC.
Ted, last thing for me, I'll let Jim finish up with you here. No surprise, Marshawn Lynch, his suspension was upheld. Take us inside that meeting. What in God's name could Marshawn Lynch say to try to get out of that one-game suspension?
I have no idea, guys. I'm trying to defend my cousin. I don't know. You know, Marshawn's a character. So, you know, it's funny you bring that up. I think that would be a hilarious meeting to attend because who knows what he would have said. Because there's no way you can possibly defend that action, right? I mean, you can't run out onto the field at any time, and you certainly can't make contact with an official. So that was a no-brainer for the league to uphold that suspension. That was no problem. And frankly, I think the Raiders will be fine without him for a game. He's going to come back. It makes you wonder with Marshawn, like, you know, how much does he care? I mean, I know he cares, right? Like, he wants to win. He's a competitor, but he's back at Oakland. He just wants to play for his hometown team. You know, it seems like he's just out there having fun, right, and kind of doing whatever he wants this season. And you know what? Good for him. He came out of retirement to have some fun, and I can't fault him for that.
We'll let you go on this. Minnesota Vikings, Teddy Bridgewater now practicing with the team. Does that mean that he is good enough to get on the field if indeed they need him later this season?
Well, I think so. I think that move signals the idea that the Vikings want to get him out there and that he can get out there. I'm glad you brought this up. Jeff Diamond, who's a former Vikings GM, obviously, he's a contributor for us, and he's actually writing a column for tomorrow, shameless plug here for Sporting News.
That's good.
About this quarterback situation and what the Vikings should do moving forward. And I can preview it a little bit just by saying his opinion is, you know, based on Bridgewater's contract situation, the injury history, it might be a better idea just to kind of leave him off to the side and then stick with Sam Bradford once he gets healthy. You let Bradford get, you know, play the backup for a little bit longer, play Keenum for a little bit longer, and then let Bradford get healthy and then let him finish out the rest of the season simply because he gives this team the best chance to win, or at least the best chance to produce on offense when he's healthy. Obviously, that's always a big if with Sam Bradford. But with Bridgewater, I mean, in my opinion, now that's Jeff's opinion, in my opinion, you know, why not? You know, I mean, if this clearly is a team that's winning based on his defense, so if you can get any production offensively or even more offensive production than you otherwise would have gotten with Bradford, then I think it's worth a shot, especially with his contract situation moving up. So I think he's probably still a few weeks away from even having a chance to play. So that situation is going to become more clear in the next couple of weeks.
Tad, as always, great catching up. It's been too long. Let's do it again soon. Talking NFL with Tad Haslip with the Sporting News. Thanks for your time today, Tad.
Yep, appreciate it, guys, as always.
Good stuff out of him, Jimmy B. So we get ready. Week 8 of the NFL, boy, it goes too fast. Every single year, we're hitting the halfway point, Jimmy B.
I know. I just kind of thought we had just gotten underway. I thought it was going to be like game 4 this coming weekend, and we've doubled that. You're right. It is the halfway mark. Amazing, though, Trent, how many big-name players, and he referenced Jason Peters, the terrific offensive lineman going down. He's done for the year with an ACL tear. So it's amazing how many big names have already been lost right now for the rest of the season.
All right, Jimmy B, 30 seconds left here. I got the Dodgers in 5. What's your call on the World Series?
Oh, man, I'd love to take the Astros, but I can't. I'm going to take the Dodgers in 6.
Dodgers in 6. We're both on the Dodgers. Let's hope we're wrong. I just want to see this thing go 6 or 7. That's really more than anything.
Yeah.
Give us some more baseball. I don't think we're going to see that. I think it's a Dodgers walloping. But with that, we are done, Jimmy B. We got another hour here, though, on 1700. The Hawkeye Huddle is next. Enjoy the cold weather today.
Thank you. Thank you so much as I put the parka on to get out of here. We'll be back again tomorrow. Hawkeye Huddle is next.
Hey, it's Tiki Barber.
And Brandon Tierney.
We are Tiki and Tierney, giving you the big scoop on all the games. Afternoons on the Big Talker, 1700 KBGG. Boom.
Hey, it's Jimmy B.
And TC for Draft House 50 on Mills Civic Parkway in West Des Moines.
Hey, Draft House 50 has 47 big-screen TVs for great viewing of any game.
Football, basketball, baseball, hockey, golf, tennis, you name it.
Hey, the Draft House 50 can get it, even cricket? Draft House 50 has a sensational menu featuring specialty burgers, steak, salads, and so much more.
And on Saturday and Sunday, beginning at 10 a.m., it's brunch, which includes a terrific Bloody Mary bar.
The Draft House 50, a place for sports, great food, and drinks.
Draft House 50, Mill Civic Parkway in West Des Moines.
Black and Cardinal Divide is the first website dedicated to the Cy-Hawk rivalry. We cover both the Hawkeyes and the Cyclones.
This is Cody, and I cover Iowa State.
And I'm Derek, his younger brother, who covers the Hawkeyes.
We'd like to encourage you to jump over to bcdivide.com. Tune in Wednesdays and Thursday nights as we will talk all things Cyclones and Hawkeyes.
Jump over to bcdivide.com. Join us for daily banter and our social media pages at bcdivide. As brothers and fans of different teams, we grew up with a heated Cy-Hawk rivalry within our own family.
Join us at bcdivide.com to embrace the rivalry.
Trust, quality, value. Just some of the words that have been used by Wolf Construction Roofing customers to describe their experience. Wolf Construction Roofing works on residential and commercial roofing, including single-family and multi-family homes, tear-offs, specialty roofing, and gutters. Wolf Construction has grown into a roofing machine that installs and re-roofs nearly 2 million square feet of roofing each year. Wolf Construction has been given the Super Service Award from Angie's List and is accredited with the Better Business Bureau. Call them today for your free estimate. Wolf Construction Roofing, 515-216-3643. That's 515-216-3643. And online, wolfconstruction.net.
Sponsored by Accountemps. Accountemps isn't just a staffing firm. They're people who believe in finding you the right person to fit your company's needs. Visit Accountemps.com to learn more. Accountemps, a Robert Half company.
Kate here with Food Dudes Delivery. Are you tired of the same old delivery options? Food Dudes Delivery can solve that problem for you. We deliver for restaurants that don't do delivery. Order through us at FoodDudesDelivery.com. Place your order for lunch today, dinner tonight, or your office party tomorrow at FoodDudesDelivery.com.
1700 KBGG is your home for high school football. Join me, Trent Condon, each and every Friday night starting at 7 o'clock for the Central Iowa Game of the Week. After the game, keep it locked on 1700 KBGG for the Hartung and Schrader Scoreboard Show. We'll take you up until 11 o'clock with scores from across the state of Iowa. Your home for high school sports, 1700 KBGG. The playoffs begin Friday night at 7 o'clock on 1700 Southeast Polk. Travels to Johnston to take on the Dragons on your home for high school sports, 1700 KBGG.
You don't need more sports, but you want more sports.
Rockstar Satellite can fix that with free next-day installation on DirecTV. Call Rockstar Satellite, 515-262-STAR. Call today for next-day installation, 515-262-STAR.
Dave, what are you doing?
Just sending a gift to Dave 2037.
Who?
Me in the future. I save a little money from every paycheck as a gift to Dave 2037. So he can spend it on things like anti-gravity boots or a hologram Doberman. Something cool like that. I think Dave 2037 deserves it. He worked hard. What are you getting Steve 2037?
I guess I was thinking Steve 2037 would just fend for himself.
Well, all right. But don't expect to be borrowing my anti-gravity boots.
You want to have money in your future? You got to start saving now. Putting some money from every paycheck into a savings account or contributing to your 401k can make a big difference later. Put away a few bucks, feel like a million bucks. For free ideas and easy ways to save, go to feedthepig.org. That's
feedthepig.org. Hey, let's just hope Steve 2037 doesn't get his hands on a cold time machine because he